So the reading is taken from Revelation, chapter 5, verses 9 to 10, and then chapter 7, verses 9 to 10. So you want to find pages 1, 2, 3, 7, and then over the page 1, 2, 3, 8 in the Pew Bibles. When you've found that, the action here is, if you look at verse 6, you'll see that it's in the throne room of heaven. And the they, that the bit that I'm going to read starts with, refers to the four living creatures and the 24 elders. And you'll see that in verse 8. So I'm reading from just the next bit, verse 9 and 10 of chapter 5. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." And then over the page to chapter 7, verse 9. "After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language. Standing before the throne and before the Lamb, they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading this morning can be found on page 980 of the Pew Bibles. It's Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. Page 980. The parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches." He told them still another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough." Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to
God. Thank you very much, Claire. I'm in charge of my own technology this morning, so let's hope that I manage to do it. Let's just bow our heads in a moment to think about this and other things that are on our minds. Lord God, we ask that you will speak to us now, each one of us, in your own special way, that you will touch our hearts, that you will open them to hear your word, and that we will feel you speaking through and to us now. We ask this in your name. Amen. Investing in God's kingdom. We've been talking a lot about the parables over the last few weeks and thinking about God's kingdom, because this is what he's talking to us about through these words. When we reflect on what it means to be a Christian, I find this image of Jesus' teaching helpful. It's an honest image, which depicts Jesus teaching style, as he gathers people to him. And it should be a reflection for our present time. We don't live in a world in which large numbers of people share our beliefs. There is no religious outlook in 21st century Britain. And many people have lost the outer observance of Christian faith. And sometimes it even feels as though the Christian perspective or understanding of life is completely absent. But the parable of the yeast gives us hope. And it talks about a job that Jesus is giving to us. And though perhaps not numerous or powerful, it is to be like the yeast in a batch of dough. Through our life and our witness, we can still make a difference to the society in which we live. We can be the yeast that reminds people human life does have a purpose, that insists that love is the underpinning principle of our universe, and not money or greed. We can insist that the weak and the voiceless in our society are protected, and through that, we can witness and we can help. And that's the dough that will rise in a way that without us, it simply wouldn't. But let me start with a word about what was really happening here. Because it's about Jesus teaching us about God's kingdom. That is, the kingdom of which he is king. And Jesus is king of the universe. But his kingdom doesn't grow by political influence or military strength, but by people discovering that he is king. And Jesus is teaching about God's kingdom through these parables. These are stories, and they contain a spiritual meaning. And they communicate the truth about God's kingdom to those who will listen carefully. But he can also hide the truth for those who will not listen carefully. The two parables in this passage bring us together with two hobbies in the British society, which people love more than anything else. I wonder if you can guess what they are. Gardening and baking. And as Jesus teaches us about what God's kingdom is like, we need to decide whether or not we're going to invest in it. So I say to you, please listen carefully. My first point is all about God's kingdom growth. Last week, if you were here, you would have heard about the mustard seed, how it starts really small, and how it will finish really big as it grows into that tree. And we heard those words. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man, let's call him Monty Don, that famous British gardener, he took and sowed that seed in his field. And it's the smallest of all seeds. But when it grows, or is allowed to grow, it grows into one of the largest garden plants that we can ever have. And it then becomes a place, like that tree, where you saw last week the birds of the air can come and make their nests in its branches." To Jesus' original hearers, the mustard seed was the smallest of all seeds that they could plant. And still today, the mustard seed is one of the smallest. it can just be 1 or 2 millimeters in diameter. But when it's allowed to grow, then it can become bigger than any or many of the plants in our garden. And it can become a tree as much as 2 or 4 meters high. So why wouldn't the birds come and nest in it? The mustard seed is then a parable of God's kingdom, which starts really small and finishes up really big. It's a bit like the internet. When I was born, the internet didn't exist. But now, do you know that more than 70% of the world's population has access to the internet? Something that started very, very small has now grown into something phenomenal today. And Jesus is teaching that God's kingdom starts very, very small. But like the mustard seed, when it's left, it grows like Topsy. That's God's kingdom. And that's how it will end. From that very small beginning, it will have a large, enormous ending. And like the mustard tree, think of that as part of God's kingdom. So you start really small and you grow very large. And the internet started very small and it's still growing. Now, I know some people are cynical about Jesus' words. And maybe even you're thinking, well, Christianity in this country is dying. The secular worldview is sweeping away the church. And it's like waves on the sandcastle. And soon, all that will be left will be empty church buildings. But I say, if that's you, don't be short-sighted. Jesus says, the kingdom is like a mustard seed. Yes, it starts very small, and it looks very unimpressive, and Jesus knows that. But it's going to become a tree. It's going to become massive. And whilst some of us need challenging, others of us need to take comfort in Jesus' words. And at the moment, all over the world, whether we believe it or not, Christianity is growing. Bigger than we can perhaps ever imagine. Bigger than perhaps we believe, but it's growing. So let's talk about the yeast. I've said that God's kingdom is like the yeast, and it works behind the scenes. But it will have a massive impact. So my second point is this. It's about God's kingdom transformation. God's kingdom is also like the yeast. It's working behind the scenes. And it too will have a massive effect. Those words we had read to us. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman, let's call her Mary Berry, took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was leavened. Now, leavened means risen. I wonder who likes to make bread amongst us. Or pasta dough? So what ingredients do we need? Come on, Mary Berry would be very disappointed if you don't know. Flour, yeast, and water. Thank you. Exactly. 3 very key important ingredients. And the yeast, that's a positive. Because let's think of it as being compared to God's kingdom. But what specific point is Jesus making to us by using the image of the yeast? Well, on the one level, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the yeast are both making the same point, in that God's kingdom starts unimpressively, very, very small, but it's going to have far-reaching results. And there is a distinction between the two parables. Whilst the parable for the mustard seed zooms out to show us the bigger picture for growth and God's kingdom and how it will change throughout the world, the parable of the yeast zooms in. And it's to show us that God's kingdom is individual in each and every one of our lives as Christians. And that will make us more like Jesus Christ. He made us, each one of us, individual. And it's amazing how God works in people, those that believe in Jesus. We each receive God's message in a different way. He is God's King. And it's a simple message. But the message, if we're prepared to hear it, can transform us. And that's like the yeast that silently, secretly works within the dough, which puffs it up, makes it so much bigger. So if you're on the edge, not yet a Christian, but maybe that's why you're here this morning, or you've met a Christian, or you've seen a group of Christians, and there's something about them that confuses you or makes you think they're different, makes you interested. And it makes you ask, well, why are they changing? Can the same happen to me? Well, if that's you, then can I put two suggestions to you? Can I say, pick up your Bible, like you read the story this morning or had the story read to you this morning. Pick up that Bible. Or, better still, Dave's going to be running a couple of courses. Sign up to one of those courses. Find out a bit more about Jesus. Find out about the King of the Kingdom, the one who will turn your life around, who will make it grow from that mustard seed into a tree, who will put you into the dough and will puff you up and make you grow bigger than you can ever imagine. Come to church more often. Look at the lives of other Christian people and ask them, how is it that God, that Jesus Christ is changing them? And if you are already a Christian, then this parable should be bringing you joy in your heart. You see, it's so easy for us as Christians to become discouraged because Satan's always whispering in our ears, why are you wasting your life trying to follow Jesus? There's no point. You'll never change. You're useless. God can never use you. How wrong they are. This parable of the yeast says, that's rubbish. And I say to you, it's rubbish. It's God, and he started working in you already, and there's nothing that can stop him. And he will surely finish his work, because he plans to return again. And as he works in you, he'll be working through you. He'll be creating that growth. And you, like other Christians, will bring others to Jesus if you open yourself up to him, if you trust in Jesus, God's own King. God's kingdom starts very small, but it's going to grow large. And it's going to work behind the scenes. And it's going to have a massive impact. Because that is what Jesus is teaching. And he's teaching us. Will you believe it? Will you invest your life in God's kingdom? I just want to finish with these thoughts. They're my thoughts, and they're what I'm pondering on at the moment. When the church buildings were closed, I felt a very deep sense of helplessness, of sorrow that these beautiful buildings weren't open for people to come and worship, just like we're able to do here this morning. Our church, St. Mary's, stood empty, it stood locked, unable to welcome anyone or be a place of worship or fellowship, just as we feel it here this morning. As we move ever so slowly out of lockdown, one of the things we need to think about is the worth and the value of our church buildings as a way of communicating our Christian faith. How we must make these places where it's easy to feel God's presence and which he can use to help communicate his power and his love to others. And as we move forward, I wonder whether, for example, we will find a renewed thirst for perhaps having church buildings open more during the day so that people can come whenever they want. I wonder whether we should value our church buildings more and think harder about how we can use this place in the service of our own local community. And I wonder whether our having been starved of worship might prompt people to renew their commitment to coming regularly each Sunday to their church, to our church. All these questions which arise in my mind as I reflect on this short parable of the yeast in the dough. How we and the resources that we have been given can be the yeast that helps that dough in our community to rise. And to rise in good and healthy and loving ways. For if we do enable that, Jesus tells us that we're witnessing nothing less than his presence in the kingdom of heaven.